And yeah, so my first time hosting the final score. And well, firstly, hope you all guys did enjoy the performance, because what a performance it was. And Chelsea, we showed up today, back-to-back clean sheets on the road, which is something we haven't done in a very long time. Chelsea 3, West Ham United 0. I'm going to go through a few segments today. The score can't be with us, so I'm going to try and go through a lot of different things for you all. And yeah, I've got things like players who've impressed. I'm going to go through the goals, players who worried me slightly. And obviously, I'm not going to be biased or controversial. I'm going to try and go through the information with you. And obviously, when we have the post-match press conferences and stuff, I'll get the news to you as well. So starting with, I just have to start with the first goal, because it was a beautiful weighted ball from Sancho. And yes, granted, it was a bit more like a Busquets to Messi type assist, because Jackson did do a lot of the work. He was three as a bird down the left-hand side. The West Ham defenders were hardly marking him. He had way too much space. And he's cut inside. And for me, the goalkeeper's got to do better. It's gone through his legs far too easily. But then again, it's a shot which we've seen Jackson put into the side net, and we've seen him mess up quite a few times before, but that, nevertheless, he got it in the back of the net. So that was the first goal. Also, for the second goal, it was Jackson again. It was poor defending from West Ham at the end of the day. I believe it was Alvarez. He's left his man for dead. He's off, then he was off over the back of the defence like the shops on Black Friday. He was through on goal, and the keeper cannot save those bottom corner. And the third goal was quite sweet as well. The controversial point in the game, you have to say, is the penalty shout in the first half. It did look to me as if the West Ham man was brought down, but they've gone with the on-field decision. You have to respect what the referee has gone with. Soon, I will be inviting Rambles in to speak as well to give his thoughts, but I'll just do a quick rundown of statistics whilst I'm here. So, on paper, it looked a lot closer than what the scoreline showed, in all fairness. So, we've got possession, where West Ham actually had more possession than Chelsea in this game. We don't usually lose the battle for possession. They had more shots than us, 15-12, more on target, and we only just edged them for duels. So on paper, West Ham played all right, but to the human eye, it was a very poor performance, especially for the West Ham attackers. The likes of Rodriguez, a new signing in the summer, he got hooked early. Emerson, I think, was their shining light down the left. Him and Somerville with a few good connections, giving them space. But yeah, the defence was all over the place. I see what they were trying to do, but three at the back, well, with the two wing backs, five to match the Chelsea attack. And for large periods, they did keep the likes of Cole Palmer quiet. I personally believe it was one of his quietest performances today. But in the second half, he showed up well with that brilliant finish, hitting, I believe, both posts to put the game to bed, really. The commentator said, if in the second half West Ham didn't get the third goal, the game was going to be done. And that's exactly what happened. They tried to bring reinforcements on and nothing really came of it. But Rambles, if you are here, can you just please give your thoughts on the first goal?
I thought it was a really good first goal. But from a West Ham point of view, they'll be very disappointed defensively. You know, they just kind of, they didn't really offer much today.
No, I definitely say the same. I don't know if you agree, but I feel like Areola for West Ham, for all three goals, granted they were great finishes, but he looked like he was just very lacklustre today. Didn't exactly even look as if he was trying to save them.
Yeah, I think West Ham in general, we just looked like we could score every time we went forward. I don't know whether they're still getting adjusted to Lopetegui's new ideas and system, but it just seemed very easy for us from an attacking point of view. I was expecting a really hard fought game, and in the end, although stats may suggest differently, it was quite an easy afternoon for us, and we possibly could have had one or two more as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'd say that there was a majority of chances where we caught West Ham on the break. It seemed like in the early stages, for sure, they were ghosting at the back. There was not many opportunities for West Ham even to cover our attack, was it?
Yeah, I think the pleasing thing for us, I think, as we've seen early on this season, going forward's not going to be an issue for us. I think we will score a lot of goals, and now we've got such good strength and depth. Whereas last season, we were so kind of heavily reliant upon Palmer, and he played more or less every minute of every game. Now we can afford to take him off in games because the players we've got to come on aren't, there's not a drastic change in quality. So the strength and depth from an attacking point of view is very, very good.
Yeah, I love exactly what you said there about Palmer. He was actually the next person I was going to segue to because I wanted to really split it into a section where players who impressed me and players who somewhat worried me of that performance. And I think Palmer really sits in the middle there. The first half, he didn't exactly bring much to the table. He was cornered out. There was always two or three defenders on him. And then the second half, it must have been when West Ham were pushing forward. He just had a lot more space, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He had much more space in the second half.
In terms of performances,
I think this was probably one of Enzo's best performances alongside Caicedo. You know, they're now starting to look a lot better together than they did last season.
Yeah, it's really good to have a midfield duo who, first of all, trust each other, but they're also putting in the last-ditch challenges, which, would you say, like, last season, they're almost scared to do so?
I think so, and also, I don't think Pochettino knew how to use both of them together. Like I said, I don't think Enzo was ever really a Pochettino kind of player. I think if he'd had his way, he would have had Gallagher and someone else. He prefers runners. I think he would prefer a runner over a more technical player. Whereas now, I think Enzo is perfectly suited to how Maresca wants to play.
Exactly. I don't think that Enzo will have his name in lights for this performance at all. And I don't think it's just going to be another one of those where it's just silently seen and not spoken about. But it's very, very good to see that, you know, he's come back into the side and he's shown his worth, and that, you know, I think you can agree. A lot of Chelsea fans, regardless of the result last time out, were quite worried about playing West Ham on an early kickoff.
Yeah, I think that there's always a danger with the early kickoff, no matter who's playing or who you're playing against. There's always the early season, you know, as they call it. If anyone who can, is always the coupon buster. If you put a Saturday bet on the early kickoff's always the one which you might get a shock result.
Yeah, 100%. But so obviously we've said about Palmer, we've said about Enzo. Just give me your thoughts on Cucurella today, because he put in quite a few decent challenges.
I thought he played really well, Cucurella. And I think every game I see him, he's one of those players. His Chelsea career didn't start off that well. And I think some of that was maybe down to the price tag, but it was huge expectations. But he's just growing stronger and stronger. And now, I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind, but he's first choice left back by a country mile. And he just seems to be getting better and better. And I like his kind of, he's got a good personality as well. There's something about him, you know, he's got really good character.
The international break has definitely given him that extra boost of confidence for him to almost not care what the haters are saying. He goes to every ground, he gets pelters from all the away fans, and he seems to just drive him on to put in, what, at least a 7 out of 10 every week.
Yeah, he's become very, very consistent. But I think one player who probably won't get much of a mention is Levi Colwill. I would say he's possibly been our best player so far this season. He's just improved so much at the back. And, you know, he's starting to show real leadership as well. You know, last week against Bournemouth, pre-match, you know, he was the one doing all the talking in the pre-match huddle. And he just seems to be, he's really growing. He's just really growing game by game.
Yeah, I feel like he was very vocal, especially if you can think back to Kudus' goal, which was disallowed for offside. The defensive line was all over the place, and then he proper gave him a good talking to, and he actually sorted out the defence. And then from there, we didn't really look shaky for a large period of the game.
And yeah, there was a moment last week against Bournemouth where he made like a last-ditch tackle and he celebrated like he scored a goal. And I just love it when a defender does that, because for them, that is their kind of version of a goal.
Yeah, All right, so moving from defence to attack then. Sancho, he got his assist, and what I've said earlier in the stream, it wasn't exactly a special assist, but it's an assist nonetheless. I don't know, today he really confused me. There was a lot of chances where he had on the left-hand side where he possibly could have passed earlier or at least had a pop shot, but I don't think he's quite got the confidence yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to take him time to build up his confidence. I think everything just went wrong for him at Manchester United, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch. And I think he, as Enzo said a few times, he needs to be loved. And I think Enzo just has the right man management to just kind of... Ten Hag, I've always got the impression he's not a very good man manager, and he's had kind of issues with several players. Whereas I think Enzo just, he knows what different players need. And I think Sancho will just need a bit of time and a bit of love and, you know, just manage the right way. And I still believe it'll be a really, really shrewd signing for us.
I think there's a few things we can take from his performance, though, because you're going to see all over Twitter today, I think, the clips of him dribbling in a short space in a phone box almost in the West Ham defence. He had about three defenders on him and he managed to keep the ball. But yeah, we seemed to lose that when we came off, didn't we? The substitution that came on, they played okay, but I wouldn't say they had the same spark.
Yeah, I think it's always difficult when you make two or three subs. It kind of can take the sting out of the game a little bit, and you kind of do lose a bit of momentum.
Yeah, you've fully got a point there. But so I'm just trying to focus a little bit. I know we're mainly going to talk about the Chelsea players and the Chelsea performance today, but I really think we were gifted today, because I'd say for the first 20 and the last 20, West Ham were not the same side that we've seen them. And it seems that Lopetegui, he's in trouble. He's definitely the closest manager I've seen to the chopping block. He could be losing his job very soon if they don't fix something. And Paqueta, for example, last season, he was probably West Ham's shining light. Maybe Kudus, maybe someone else. Obviously, there was large periods where Paqueta was just saving him. And today, he had a few free kicks where he just went straight into the wall, and he was just having a fight with Enzo half the game.
I think it's difficult. I think, for the same before, West Ham have kind of done what we've done. You know, they've made a lot of changes. You know, they brought in like a lot of new signings, and obviously Wan-Bissaka's a new signing for them. So's Max Kilman. And I think sometimes when you're bringing in two or three players into the back line, it does, and especially adds about a new manager, it does take time to kind of get your ideas across, for relationships to grow. And I think that's one bonus we've had this season. You know, you can see the relationships are growing, because Colwill, Cucurella and Fofana have started every league game, whereas last season we were chopping and changing most games. I think forming relationships on the pitch is just such an important factor.
That is such an underrated thing that I don't think people talk about enough. Just the fact that we've got defenders which are starting, are trusting each other, are actually building a bond. And we didn't have that before, like you said. We've got connection at the back. And I think it's working all over the pitch, because I've got a stat from Squawker here that Nicholas Jackson now has scored more non-penalty goals in the league since the start of last season. Then Dominic Solanke, who's just made the big move, Alexander Isaac, Heung-Min Son, Salah and Havertz. So, yeah, he's making his mark, and I think he was unbelievable today.
I mean, it's interesting with Jackson, because right from the very start, I could never understand all the stick he used to get. Because for me, he's always been a really good player, and he offers so much. You know, he does so many good. I know there's games where he misses easy chances, but the pros far outweigh the cons of Jackson. So I think the only thing he needs to work on is become a bit more clinical. And you know, he can maybe be slightly better in the air, but everything else you'd want from a striker, he's got.
And yeah, 100%. For example, I'm sorry to keep reading off these Scorca statistics, but it's impossible to miss. Enzo Maresca is now the first manager to win his first three Premier League away games in charge in the competition since Pep Guardiola in 2016. The master and the apprentice. I wouldn't quite go that far, but his football is flowing. We played in the game extra now, which puts us second in the league. 10 points, 6 plus goal difference, 3 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. Okay, so let's talk about the performance today. Just quickly before obviously you go on to your next point. So how impressed have you been with the start of the season? Would you say there's anything you'd like to improve on in general?
I would say the only slight thing where I think it was the Crystal Palace game and the Man City game where we were guilty of not taking our chances. I think, you know, when you've played the better teams, like your Man City's and your Arsenal's, they're the games where you need to be clinical. Because, you know, if you don't take one or two chances, you'll be made to pay for it. So it was that game. It was the Crystal Palace game where we possibly could have seen the game off. But apart from that, I think I'm very pleased defensively. We look so much better this season. You know, it's just light years apart from where we were last season, where every game you were just worried, like, how many are we going to concede? But we just look a lot more stable.
Yeah, stability is the key, especially for the midfield. We spoke about Enzo. We haven't really given Caicedo a proper word. Would you
rank this standing today?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably one of his best performances in a Chelsea shirt.
All day long, he was absolutely superb today.
There was quite a few challenges where I was like, I thought, you know, if that goes wrong, that can very easily be a yellow or a red card. But he's timed it perfectly every time. So
he just got everything right today. Everything he did, he was just spot on. He'll be in contention for man of the match. He probably will go to Jackson, but he'll be in the mix definitely.
Well, whilst we are chatting through this, I've got statistics here, but I'm trying to find as many good key talking points from today's game. As you can see, I've just shared it to the space. Nicholas Jackson now has more goals for Chelsea than Olivier Giroud did in the Premier League. So I feel like Giroud is almost seen as a cult hero. So that's one thing you can add to his tally. And I'm trying to find any comments I can. But
One thing I was really impressed with was before the game, I just love Enzo's press conferences and his post-match and pre-match interviews, because he just says all the right things, and he's just so honest and blunt. He just says it as it is. He doesn't mince his words at all.
It's brilliant, especially in the few recent ones. I don't know if you've seen them, but he's actually added humour to it as well. So he's serious, but he also allows a little bit of a joke as well.
He does. He's got good character and a good sense of humour. And you can see already that the fans are really warming to him.
So, going into it again then. Can you just give me some words on Sanchez's performances today?
Sanchez, I think he was fairly solid. He didn't have too much to do. There were a couple of moments where, you know, you kind of heart and mouth moments where, a bit risky. But I think that's just the kind of goalkeeper he is. But two away games, two clean sheets, momentum's building.
Yeah, maybe he's done exactly what he needed to do, isn't he?
And we did see at Brighton, you know, how good of a goalkeeper he can be. So maybe he kind of can develop into the keeper we were hoping we'd signed. Because even though he was really bad last season, we've seen Sanchez at his best, and there is a good goalkeeper in there. But last season, I just think for one reason or another, he was just very error prone, and having a constant change in the four defenders in front of him, I don't think helped. But now with a more settled back four in front of him and a settled midfield, maybe that can help him grow as well.
100%. He almost got called into action again because West Ham, should they have had a penalty?
I think we were very, very lucky it wasn't given as a penalty.
Yeah, I feel like he's held onto his arm for way too long there. The one real complaint I guess I could have about it is that I just don't think Somerville was actually reaching that ball.
No,
it could just be me, but I feel like he was a little bit too far away from the ball. That's the one thing I would say. But really, what is he doing? He's held onto his arm for way too long there. And I'm trying to find any statistics I can from this game, but I am struggling at the minute, boys. So I'll segue on just to a little bit to going back to the goals then. Cole Palmer, what a beautiful finish. Just to put the game to bed, wasn't it? It's exactly what you expect from him at this point.
Oh, it was a lovely finish. And like, going forward, you know, on the counter, we just look so threatening. You know, it looks like, I think this season, we're going to give a few teams a real pace thing. Because we've just got such great options. Like, before the game, a lot of people were calling for Nkunku to start, because obviously he got the winner against Bournemouth, where Richard Jackson's come in and he's really shut some of his doubters up. 2 goals, 1 assist.
100%. So, right, can you say, so you said obviously Jackson, well, he got the goals, he got the assist, he played really well. You said the fact that Levi Colwill, Enzo, they really went under the radar. If you had to put two key names in, your first and second for like man of the match performances, who would you give it to?
I think Jackson would be my first choice, followed by Caicedo. I just think Caicedo, he was just, for me, it was one of the best performances in the Chelsea shirt.
Yeah, I think Jackson has to get it, surely for the possibility that we've not actually seen finishing like that from Jackson. And regardless of what you say about the defending, it's two great finishes and a decently weighted pass as well. But I don't know, for the second choice, Caicedo was very good, but yeah, it's between him and Enzo for me. And I feel like...
Yeah, Enzo was brilliant as well.
Yeah, Enzo, he played really well. The one thing that let me down, though, is I just feel like he got the emotions to have the better of him for a few periods of the game. Where for example, Caicedo was taking his time putting in the challenges. Enzo just got a little bit distracted. But as well as this rambles, we have got a few... We've got Vince, who was requested to speak. So, Vince, can you give us your thoughts? I believe you should be in... just a sec. I've accepted Vince's request. There you go, Vince.
Hey, how's it? Yeah, no, I agree. I think Caicedo today, potentially his best performance in a Chelsea shirt. I mean, how many tackles and interceptions did he have that just sparked counterattacks the other way? Like 4 or 5 times, and then he had the assist as well on Jackson's second goal. I thought he was phenomenal. And then a player that I've pretty much bring up every time I speak is Cucurella. I mean, he has been our most consistent defender this entire season, was our most consistent defender the last 10 games of the last season, best left back at the Euros, and I think he's the first defender on the team sheet after Palmer for me. I mean, he's just every single game consistent. And, you know, that he almost should have got red carded at the end, if I'm being honest. So that was a reckless challenge. But besides that, you know, I thought he was phenomenal. Caicedo, phenomenal. I think Enzo definitely an improved performance today. I still have worries about him giving the ball away a little bit too much and just his end product. Like, I know he makes these beautiful, pretty, flashy passes, but do they actually lead to goals? Like, do they actually ever end up in the back of the net? That's my little bit of a worry with him. But overall, this is probably our best performance this season other than Wolves. So you got to be happy.
Just wanted to question you on one thing and also call you back on another. One name I haven't heard much there is Tosin. 5 clearances, 2 block shots, 1 interception, 1 tackle, and not being dribble passed. Would you say he was integral to the defensive output as well?
I think you see, like, just his presence, his size on the pitch. I do think that intimidates opposing, attackers. Like, he's just a monster out there. And I think his aerial presence, even though he didn't really need to use it today, I think that'll be valuable in future games. And I do think when we get Mal Augusto or Reece James, we'll even have more balance in our back line because we're playing players out of position at right back currently. So I do think he had a great performance. I think as much as I love Fofana and I think he'll come good, I think right now it might be Colwill and Tosin as the best duo. But as was said earlier, I think there's something to be said for continuity and just rolling with Colwill and Fofana, even if Fofana has an off game or, you know, gives away a poor pass like he did last game. I think there's something to just letting it roll. And, you know, they're both, what, under 22, 20, under 23. So just letting them play. But I think Tosin is definitely the first center back off the bench. And I think once James and Gusto comes back, I think the defense will just get stronger.
Vince, that is an unbelievable point you made a second ago as well when you said that Cucurella is the second name on the team sheet behind Cole Palmer. I think it's a rogue shout, but I actually somewhat do agree with it. Rambles, can you just give me your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought Tosin had a really solid game and he made a big impact when he came on against Bournemouth. And for a free transfer, it's looking like a very smart piece of business. And you could possibly say that he's going forward, it's going to be a good battle between him and Fofana as to who starts. I think Colwill's definitely nailed down the left centre back starting spot, and you could easily make a case for the next league game for Tosin to be starting it ahead of Fofana if Gusto's back.
100%. Sorry, Vince.
No, he just has that, like, he's good throughout 88 minutes of the match, and then he has a two-minute stretch where he's just like, what are you doing? You know, giving away multiple balls within, you know, a short period of time, making a big brain mistake, being caught out of position, like, just going for a tackle and completely whiffing. Like, he'll do this, and then he'll be great for 87 minutes, but we'll remember the 3 minutes where he was a complete disaster. Legitimately, like Mustafi, like, at his worst, for 3 minutes, and then the other 87 minutes, he's rock solid. So I don't know if that's because he, you know, he's coming back, still working back from an injury, or he's just still young and still improving, but I definitely think that he has something in his game where he just loses his head or loses his composure for a small bit of time, and it puts us under pressure and, you know, puts us in dangerous situations.
Yeah, he loses composure, definitely. I can't see him being the player that he was before the injury. That's almost inevitable. But especially today, there was a few periods where I was like, oh, he's, I just don't like that. There's some players over the years that when they're on the ball at the back, they do fill you with a little bit of nerves. And I think he is going to be one of those. But yeah. So, yeah, Vince, can you just give me your thoughts on the goals? Because personally, I think they're great goals, but a lot of neutral fans were saying it was poor from West Ham.
I think the first goal, they definitely fell asleep because we took the free kick, you know, so quickly and just caught them off guard. But those are chances that Jackson hasn't finished in the past. So even though, you know, West Ham weren't great defensively there and definitely were caught off guard, I think that still last year, it's still 0-0 at that point. And also, I think this Chelsea team, I think more than other teams, getting an early goal takes the pressure off just so much. And if hypothetically he doesn't put that in the back of the net, I don't think we win 3-0. I think we might eke out a 1-0 victory or 2-1 victory, but we wouldn't have waltzed to a 3-0 victory like that. So the fact that he did put that in the back of the net showed quality and composure. I don't know what people are saying about the Palmer goal. That was just quality. I mean, bar in, what are people talking about? I mean, that was a perfectly placed strike from Palmer. He's one of three or four players in the entire Premier League that put that in the back of the net. So I don't know what people are talking about on that goal. And then on the second goal, I mean, just we won the ball back, created a counter. Caicedo with a beautiful ball forward and Jackson put it in the back of the net. That's good, solid football. And that's what we're trying to teach. So, yeah, the first goal, we caught them off guard. Poor from West Ham, I agree. And I definitely thought just the last 20 minutes of the match and the first 20 minutes of the match, they were just slow and they were off it. But no, I thought the goals were quality for the most part.
Yeah, and Palmer really proved his worth. I said it earlier that even if he, I don't really like the term ghosted, but even if he wasn't to his 100% top shape for some of the game because he was marked out, well, 100%, like you said, there's not many players in the league that can do a finish like that. When he goes for on goal, you know he's scoring. And the audacity to actually put it posting in, rather than just pass the goalkeeper, no, he has to make a postage stamp finish of it, doesn't he?
And, oh, superb finish.
And I thought Madueke, at, what was it, like the 80-minute mark, should have squared it to him and he would have had an open goal there as well. And look, I don't think he's had a great start to the season for his standards, but he has 6 goal involvements, 2 goals, 4 assists, and 5 matches. So it's like, if he's not to what his standard is, then we have one of the best 5 attackers in the entire planet.
It's a joke. Rambles, you got anything to comment?
Yeah, I think that because Palmer set the bar so high last season, we kind of, even though he's been really good, we are kind of questioning his performances a tad. He just hasn't quite hit the heights of last season. But I also think now, because there's more quality around him, I think whereas last season he was the shining light, now we've got so many potential match winners.
And I don't know if you can see it in the space, guys, but yeah, 100%. Look, 38 games for Cole Palmer in a Chelsea shirt, 39 goal involvements.
That's just incredible.
It's incredible. It is incredible. So, just going back to what we spoke about a little bit earlier, Vince, I don't know if you heard, but would you say that Sanchez is like really, like, I feel like he's turned a corner. They've given the trust in Sanchez and he's really repaid it with these performances, hasn't he?
I mean, my problem with Sanchez was always the shot stopping. I thought he would just... He would make the saves that he was expected to make, but he would never make a save that you would say, okay, well, that's bailed us out of a situation there, or we should be down 1-0 and Sanchez has kept us in the match. Well, he did that, you know, in the past game, saving a penalty, you know, just, you know, being decisive, going the right way and, you know, saving it, saved us in that game. And then today, look, we probably shouldn't have conceded anything, but he made some saves that in the past, you know, might have nicked off a hand and then ended up in the back of the net. And no, he's definitely turned a corner, but I still am not completely sold, if I'm being completely honest with you, based upon, you know, 15 performances I saw last year where he just looked error prone and, you know, didn't look his best. But there's no doubt these past two performances, these past two clean sheets in the league have been his two best performances of, I think, his Chelsea career, other than maybe a match or two, last, you know, mixed in where he made some nice saves. But he definitely looks more confident. And I said it at the time. I think our best, you know, goalkeeper is actually playing for Strasbourg right now. I don't know why Petrovic was scapegoated and pushed out of the club. I thought he was really good, actually. I thought he was really, really good last year. And when we drew to Manchester City, I think he made, what, 16, 17 saves in that match, that draw 2-2 to Manchester City last year. So I don't know why he got ousted, but Sanchez has definitely improved, and for now he's definitely our number one until proven otherwise.
The saying which I want to bring to the table here is, I don't know if you've heard it, but the track team is only as fast as their slowest runner. And I feel like this works very contextually for Chelsea at the minute, because the goalkeeper is only as good as the defence that's in front of him. And when you've got a solid pair of centre-back, a solid left-back, and, you know, granted, a makeshift right-back who can be traded out when the right-back's back fully fit, the likes of Gusto and Reece James, if he ever does put on a Chelsea shirt again at this stage. And I feel like when we do have a solid right-back, I'm not sure how long it will be until we get the likes of Malo back. But, yeah, Sanchez could be in for a brilliant season.
And also, I do think something that annoys me a little bit is that sometimes he tries to thread the needle with a pass to, like, Caicedo will drop deep or Enzo will drop deep, and he'll try to thread a pass through an attacker or two attackers for the other team to try to play through them. Just play it to your closest defender. You don't need to be a superhero trying to thread the needle. Unless, like, if you're super confident and you have it and it's on, go for it. But today he almost gave away a ball. I forget to who, but... You know, it could have put us under pressure, but I feel like he is playing with fire a lot of the times. Like, I don't get me wrong. I appreciate a keeper that can use his feet, that can come out, that can help and be that, you know, extra line of defense. But at the same time, I feel like he's almost like showing off sometimes, where he's like, you don't need to take that extra touch.
Yeah. I feel like he does show off a little bit. Sorry to sidetrack just now. I'm just finding a few quotes from the lads after the game. Jackson, TNT, said, "We keep going This one is finished, and next week you go again onto another one. He's smiling because he was just handed the Man of the Match award, where Palmer not only credited Jackson, he's also said, we've got a very good manager. And, well, we've got a very good manager if he's hit statistics only Pep has hit in recent years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he looks very, very good. He looks very, very good, Enzo. And I think we have got a good manager. I think there's obviously a lot of scrutiny because we've got a manager from the Championship. But we've also seen with Vincent Kompany at Bayern Munich that, you know, some of these guys, although they maybe don't have the Premier League experience, but they are good managers. And it's just a case of giving them a chance.
And, also, most Premier League goal combinations this season. Palmer and Jackson with 10. Sat above Bailey and Watkins on 8. Alanga and Wood on 7. The likes of Saka and Havertz. Saka and Havertz getting a lot of the praise this season. Potentially taking Arsenal to a Premier League title. And they're sat behind Palmer and Jackson in the goal contribution. So, we've got... I don't know what you guys think, but I just think they're a lovely little duo. They complement each other amazingly.
They do, and they seem to have a really good relationship as well. It's just kind of, some partnerships just seem to work, and they just seem to have a really good understanding of each other.
So we've also got another request here. So, Dari, I'm going to approve your request. The one thing I'm just going to ask before we go on to this, can you just give your thoughts on the combination of Jackson and Palmer? I've just let him in, so when he does join, I'll give him his thoughts. But, you know, during the meantime, great, he's here now. So, Dari, hello, mate. We'll give him a few seconds. Sorry about the technical difficulties, guys. But just to fill time then, Vince, John, just give your thoughts on the pair of Jackson and Palmer.
I mean, they've been on the same page the whole season. From the goal, the chip that Palmer scored against Bournemouth was a Jackson assist where, you know, he put it right in the path of him and, you know, Palmer with one of the classiest finishes you'll see all season. So they've been on the same page all year. And I just think, as you said, the counterattacks are so lethal with those two guys. And as much as I do like a more plodding center forward, a center forward that might link up to play a little bit more, just be a little bit more strong in the box, a Lukaku type. I mean, we haven't had a counter-attacking striker to this level pretty much ever, under Chelsea. That just hasn't been the style of striker we've had. So the counter-attack between those two guys look deadly, and I think Madueke is going to join that duo and make it a trio. I really do. I think he just needs to just keep starting him. I know today wasn't his best performance, but just keep putting Madueke in the starting lineup every single day. We need some continuity, and I think he'll come good as well. And I think him and Palmer have shown as good of a connection as Jackson and Palmer. I mean, what Noni and Palmer did to Wolverhampton was crazy. So those three, really, I think, have to be staples in the attack every single game in the Premier League.
Thanks, Vince. Dara, I see you've got your hand up there. If you want to just unmute your mic, you're free to go. You're free to speak.
Yeah. I'm here. Good day, guys.
How are you doing, man? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Today match was, it was good. Very, a really good match and, positive results. And I see most of our players have improved very highly.
Yes, 100%.
Likes of Cucurella, Cowell have been confident and balanced. I love his pass though, and Tosin also. Tosin giving those passes. I love when defenders know how to make those long passes. I really love defenders who throw long passes and are confident on the ball. But you know, Fofana is a bit reckless today. He's lucky he didn't give away a penalty. So, you know, I just want him. He's a good guy. What I love about Fofana is that I love him as a defender who drives the ball. He knows how to drive the ball, you know, in some tight positions. But, you know, sometimes he's reckless. Like, I don't know. But it's good for me, you know, coming from injury, like not playing last season. I don't think he played last season. Even though he played, just coming off an but it was good. And Sanchez was not bad. The confidence, I thought the defense helped him build his confidence also. And our midfield was solid. Casadio was masterpiece. He's a master. He dropped a masterclass performance against West Ham. Even though they were poor, you know, those tackles, those runs, those, you know, duels, he put it in well. And I honestly don't know for Madueke. I don't know why people was like, this guy, a guy was saying Madueke will join in later on. I don't see him joining. Because that guy is too selfish for a reason. I don't know. You selfish. The guy is selfish without an end product. You know, we see, you know, some kind of players are selfish, and the end product are massive and good. You know that, okay, this one can convert, even though he's a selfish player. He loves being doing his thing by himself. But you are not there. Don't let the hat trick against Wolf get into your head. That hat trick was solely on Palmer's, what do you call it? Palmer's did all the work yesterday.
Work rate?
Not, oh yeah, all the work rate was done by Palmer, not him though. So, you see. And
let me just stop you there really quick. Sorry. I just want to segment this. Obviously, you said about how Madueke, he don't think he should join the front three because he doesn't exactly have the end product. Vince, you seem to be backing up Madueke a lot. He's put in a few good performances. Have you got anything to like counteract that?
Well, he's 22 years of age. I think we got to keep that in mind. He's only going to get better. He's not a finished product. And I just think his finishing at the end of the day, like his finishing is what separates him. His ability to actually put it in the back of the net, because we've seen players come in and come out that, you know, can play good team football, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, it doesn't affect the scoreline. And I think he's shown when he's in the squad, we just win games. And I think we got to roll with that. And look, today I agree. I think he should have squared the pass to Palmer. I think today he did play a little selfishly, but I don't think that's representative of his performances this season. I think he's immense quality.
He's a good footballer. I love him. I love it. Like, sometimes it gives me a little joy watching Madueke play. But, you know, maybe we should see Neto more on the right side. If you notice when Neto come over to that right hand side, you could see some kind of clips that within like three players, he was able to pull through some kind of passes. I think it was him that got that chances that Kowi headed and, Nkunku nearly scored. It's from that free kick. I think it was a free kick. So you could see. He's a good player, no doubt. He's still growing. You need to learn. You can't be doing this every time. Against Bournemouth, you could see what he does. Mariska quickly gets sub him out, and he was like keeping an angry face. Like, bro, what are you doing? Stop being selfish. Do a lot of teamwork here.
I think the thing with Pedro Neto that I've seen though is he looks to whip in across, and Madueke is looking to go into the box towards goal, put a strike on goal. So it's just a different style of player. You know, Neto's a guy that is going to take it wide and look for, you know, a ball into the box. Madueke is a guy who's going to dribble the ball into the box. So I think he's going to get better. I think also just 1v1 technically, I think Neto gets the ball nicked off him a little bit more than Madueke does. I think Madueke is, you know, more electric, just running at defenders with the ball at his feet. I think he's a better, more technical player. I really do. And I think he has more pace. As fast as Neto is, I think Nani has more pace, and I think that's valuable.
Neto also has more pace there. So, you know, two of them are good. You know, the squad depth is just insane. You know, we 60 minutes you put in Nkunku, Felix coming on, also Sancho going out. Neto also coming on. You see, the squad depth at Chelsea now is madly insane. You know, I know some top clubs that will be praying for this kind of squad depth. And Lavia is here to come. See, James is also there. Gusto also. I pray, you know, this time injury should just take over everything. It should just be wonderful. You know, I think Cole Palmer is a bit the match. Maybe that masterclass. He's a masterclass player, obviously, but you know, come on, they know what he can do. You know, they hold him really tight from the game ball. You know, when you give him a free space, you could see today from that free space, boom, a goal. That is the thing about Palmer. I was still banking on him day, night. He's a good player, world class. So that's
so,
it.
Guys, I can't believe I'm saying this after we've won 3-0, but obviously we've got the decisions of who to start in the French three. Now, I'm not saying that either of you have said that any of them are bad players or at all, but yeah, I'm going to ask all three of you one by one, just starting with Rambles. So in your front three, do you think that the likes of Felix and Nkunku and Neto are just bound to be on the bench now, or do you think any of them maybe could start next game?
I think Nkunku got every chance.
Dario, would you mind muting your mic 1 second? Alright, it's fine, Ramble, carry on, sorry.
I would say heading into the next league game, I think Jackson and Palmer have secured their places. Nonny, I don't think he had his best game. I would like to see Neto start on the right and Sancho on the left. But I wouldn't be against seeing Palmer on the right and Nkunku as a 10.
And Vince, what about you? How do you think the front three is going to line up?
I think it's Sancho on the left, Jackson at striker, and then Nani on the right, and then keep Palmer at, you know, central attacking midfield in the number 10 role.
Okay. And Dari, what about yourself?
My front three, you know, Sancho obviously on the left. I don't know. Neto on the right. And you know, the funniest thing is that Jackson, you can't just drop him. I'll just let him start because, you know, him and Palmer, the chemistry between him and Palmer is great. Yeah, you know, just so wonderful. I just give him. He should start, obviously. I just love that. The squad depths are working. Nothing much. Sancho, Jackson and Neto. Next game.
Okay, so thank you for Dario for your opinions on this. You've been really, really helpful for your talk. So if we're moving on to the next point then, something that a player which I spoke about earlier on someone I spoke about earlier on, which I just wanted to bring back because I saw his stats on Twitter. Can we just have another quick talk about Robert Sanchez? So 2 clean sheets, and not only that, 3.76 goals prevented. Now, I'm a little bit of an XG nerd myself, and that is absolutely incredible for a player who I have not been giving his flowers to. And he's shown confidence. 14 saves, including a penalty. It wasn't the best penalty, and maybe could have even been 2 penalties. But back-to-back clean sheets, I just can't believe it. And especially considering the likes of Areola and the other goal, who's had an absolute horrific game. So the main thing I really wanted to ask you guys was other than the big save that Areola made, it was a large contrast between the two goalkeepers today, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Like, both playing out from the back. I thought Sanchez looked good. And as you said, just the shot stopping has improved. It's not a coincidence that we've gone 2 clean sheets in a row. I mean, that's definitely up to the goalkeeper. He's the leader of the defense, so.
100%. I'm trying to find some extra statistics for you guys, but, you know, whilst I'm at it, I'm just going to give you 2-3, Rome. Is there any, like, main points that you wanted to speak about which we haven't said anything about yet?
Yeah, I was just going to say a bit about Sanchez. I think, I think he just looks so much better now. There's a more settled back four in front of him. And I think that's one thing we never really took into account last season. Everyone was very quick to really jump on Sanchez. He's not good enough, blah, blah, blah. But I do think people don't appreciate how important it is for a goalkeeper to have a consistent four defenders in front of him. Because when you're chopping and changing week after week after week, it's just so hard to form relationships and understanding with each other. And now everything just looks a lot more settled. We just look so much more comfortable defensively.
100%. Vince, would you say we look a lot more comfortable this season?
Oh, 100%. Like, just last year, it was almost inevitable that there was going to be a mistake or there was going to be some sort of error leading towards a shitty goal that we would concede. So everyone knew that it was coming. Whether it was early in the game or late in the match, everyone knew it was coming. This year, we look different. We don't look like we're just a ticking time bomb to give away a poor goal. And one thing I did want to say really quick, though, about, because we were talking about the front three, I do worry that, like, sometimes if we don't play these guys enough, they do get marginalized. So if Neto all of a sudden is, like, he's the odd man out, or Felix is the odd man out, or Mudrik, who we haven't even talked about whatsoever, like, these guys, they just get marginalized. Then they become overpaid guys that are on too high salaries. Then we're bringing in Estevao and Kendry and all these guys. And then before you know it, Neto will be out the door. And the board, I don't want him. I want him to get a good run of games. But the board will be pushing him out, and they'll be pushing a new guy in. So it just worries me that we have too many cooks in the kitchen, per se, a little bit. But it's a good thing because we have so many options, but it's a bad thing because some of these guys are bound just by numbers to be ousted out of the squad. But yeah, no, defensively, definitely looking a lot more solid this year than we have in years past.
Too many cooks in the kitchen. What a quote. And whatever they're cooking, it's something saucy, because that means Chelsea have lost just two of the last 20 Premier League games, apparently. I've not fact-checked this, but this is what came from Chelsea website. And these were against Manchester City and Arsenal. So, come on, I think we had more cooks in the kitchen at this point, surely.
I mean, it definitely feels now like we are moving in the right direction. There's been so much negativity the last couple of years with one thing and another. It finally feels now we're kind of making strides in the right direction. And I don't think we're that far off where we want to be. I know we need to make a couple of tweaks and a couple of players will be moved on. But I think when you look at our squad compared to, you know, Arsenal's, Man City's and Liverpool's, you know, strength and depth-wise, I don't think that far off at all. You know, in some way, we've probably got better strength and depth than Arsenal and Liverpool. But I just think we just need to add those one or two key signings to get us to that next level where we want to be.
Yeah, and granted, the spending doesn't exactly add up to the same as ours. But if you're looking on paper today, that West Ham squad, they've got so many star players. And, like, for example, Bowen, you could say one of the best in the league. Somerville was a player of the year last year. Kudus, Paqueta, great players. And they're even spending big money on the likes of Kilman and Alvarez and Wan-Bissaka to an extent. And we walked the path against them for most stages today. And when you're talking about clubs which has got great on paper, everyone's always said the likes that, oh, Maresca's got so many great players to choose from, but he's not doing anything with it. And Maresca's building something with this side.
He is. And I think, you know, hopefully now, I think everything should just settle down now. I think moving forward, the future transfer windows will be a lot less hectic, because I think it is just a case now of just getting two or three players out and getting one or two in. And then I think that'll be us pretty much done for a while, because we don't need that much. And I think the kind of stability will just help everyone at the club, because there's just been so much going on the last few years and windows, players coming in left, right and centre, players going out left, right and centre. But I think we're slowly getting towards where we want to be squad-wise.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, the last couple of years rooting for Chelsea have just been miserable. Like, they were not enjoyable. You don't know how many games I, like, literally turned off before the match ended because I was like, this isn't worth my time. I'm not enjoying myself. This is frustrating. Now I enjoy watching the squad. I enjoy watching the team. For the first time in 2 years, I actually enjoy watching Chelsea. It doesn't feel like I'm punishing myself. It feels like, oh, this is exciting, you know? Like, so at the end of the day, I didn't want to sack Pochettino. He finally got on my good side the second we sacked him, pretty much. Like, okay, we got into sixth place. We got unlucky not to get into the Europa League. We're playing well. But at the end of the day, I was still miserable rooting for that team. And there were so many games that I rate, like 4-2 Wolves last year when we lost 4-2 to Wolves. I remember just being enraged, you know, turning the game off. But now I actually enjoy watching the team, even if we do lose a match or two coming up, you know, to Liverpool or a tough team. I'm still feeling like this is going to be an enjoyable season and we actually have a future that we can build around.
So, just rounding up then, guys, obviously we've spoke about this game extensively now. Can you just start with you, Rambles, because obviously I don't want Vince to get overstressed back to back. Can you just give me your like overall thoughts on the performance?
Yeah, overall really positive performance. But I think more than that, the whole mood amongst the Chelsea fans just seems so different to what it was last season. There seems to be like a confidence. Everyone seems to be, they're looking at our future in a positive way. Whereas the last couple of seasons, it's been, you know, so much negativity. But I now think people can see light at the end of the tunnel, and they can see that actually we're not that far away. You know, one or two signings, and I think we can start thinking about, you know, competing for the major honours again. So yeah, it's just such a nice feeling. Good win Saturday afternoon, the early kickoff. We can now sit back, relax, and we can watch the other games, knowing that we've done our business.
And Vince?
Yeah, no, I have to echo that point. No pun intended. I have to Chelsea echo what he just said. No, the whole vibe around you know, Chelsea Nation and the fan base is more positive now. And I think the main takeaway from the season so far is that I think most people didn't want Pochettino to get the sack. It was too much turnover. Oh, we're sacking another coach. And I think pretty much the whole fan base is on board now with Maresca and say would want to do that move again. So, you know, it's positive. 3-0. I mean, no one ever complains about a 3-0 victory away at West Ham. Whether you think the performance was great or not, the scoreline is great. 3-0 away at West Ham. I mean, that's a brilliant, brilliant result. So, you know, we'll take it. We'll move on. This is a great day for Chelsea.
I might have to use the pen again with the way I'm echoing the way that you're saying. I think, yeah, brilliant result. On paper, a lot of fans might be a little bit disappointed, but we got the job done and the game was pretty much over within about 25 minutes. So it's great to see the lads actually finally gelling, coming together and getting the combinations. Each pretty much every single player on the pitch put in performance. Kukurea for me is the man that he won't get a man match, that's Jackson, but taking away the obvious of Jackson getting a man match, I'm going to give a lot of my praise to Kukurea today. That challenge alone made me really enjoy the fact that he wasn't scared to put in the last man challenge. Because let's say he didn't put in that challenge there, West Ham could have been well back in the game with that counter-attack if that goes in the back of the net. So yeah, just going to go with one more thing around you two then, guys. Can you just, we've spoke about loads of different players. Concrete then, who was your man of the match today if you were not to give it to Jackson?
If not Jackson, I'd give it to Caicedo. I think it was probably one of his best performances in the Chelsea shirt. I think it was arguably his best performance alongside Enzo. And they seem to be really growing as a pair. But yeah, Caicedo, absolutely superb. And he's really starting to look like the Brighton Caicedo.
Yeah, I fully agree with that.
I mean, Caicedo would have been my choice, but if I won't go with Caicedo, I'm gonna say it's that man Mark Cucurella. I mean, match in, match out, he is the most consistent defender on the team. You could have gone Colwill as well. Just he was classy the whole game. He was in contention for this, but Mark Cucurella, this is almost an accumulative award for what he's done throughout the whole season. Just match in, match out. You know, putting in hard challenges, really being a leader, I think, vocally, always working the ref. He's a master of the dark arts. He's from the first minute of the pitch, he's yelling at the ref. He's in the ref's ear. You know, he's like a rabid, just animal out there. He's an absolute psychopath. And I think we need that in the squad. So I'll give him my man of the match outside of Jackson today.
So thank you very much, especially to Rambles and Vince for talking in today's stream. You've helped me out. And to all of you guys who have listened to the entire stream, I just want to say thank you for being amazing listeners and letting me host today. Obviously, it's my first time hosting, but I really do hope that you guys did enjoy it. Just a quick rundown for the future fixtures then. The next three fixtures for Chelsea are in three different competitions. On Tuesday, Chelsea have Barrow at home, 7:45 kickoff. I'll be here for that. Well, I'm going to be here for all of them, really. And then on the weekend, it's Chelsea at home to Brighton. And then we've got Ghent as well. So a lot of home fixtures. Actually, the next four games in a row for Chelsea are all at home. The EFL Cup, Premier League, Conference League, and then Nottingham Forest in the league after that. Yeah, an amazing performance for Chelsea today. Just a quick roundup of that again. Chelsea 3, West Ham United 0. On paper, West Ham in the second half, really they get back into it, but the game was dead and buried by halftime, even if not when Cole Palmer struck both posts and hit him in the back of the net. Two goals for Nicholas Jackson and an assist for the third as well for Cole Palmer. The likes of Davinson Sanchez and the whole of the team really obviously keeping a clean keeping a clean sheet. Fofana bringing a makeshift right back. Hopefully we've got a new right back in for our next fixture, but he still performed and kept a clean sheet. The big storyline of today is the fact that should have West Ham got a penalty. But yeah, nevertheless, thank you guys for listening. Ivan Redford, this has been The Final Score, and I'll see you guys in the next game.